Well, track and field fans, it's great to have Jay from PrepRunningNerd.com back in our airwaves once again. It's been a great start to the track and field season. Jay, I know you put out a great newsletter each and every week, and boy, what a great season so far. Once again, expectations for this season are pretty big, aren't they?
Well, they are. We're not going to match last year. We had over 30 state records last spring, historic, and particularly for the class of 2024. So we're probably not going to be at that level this year. However, this season is not going to be any less exciting, and we've seen some excellent competition in the first 4 weeks.
No question. Now, you say we're not going to see a repeat of the state meet where all those flags are up on those poles, all those different classes for all those records. You got a feeling not going to be quite that many records this year?
I don't think so, but we still had a strong start to the season. We've had 3 state records so far, and that's probably about normal. Braden Lofquest of Gretna East broke the Class B and the all-class record for the 1600 about 2 weeks ago. I was on site for that, and he ran a 4:06.80. It was just a perfect day, just a whisper of the wind, and he had 2 Omaha Scut runners who just really put him in a good position to set that record. Probably the surprise, and it shouldn't have been a surprise, but last Friday, Austin Carrera of Hastings broke the Class B 3200 record with a 9:01. He's been a real high-level runner for the last 3 years. I remember 2.5 seasons ago in cross country, his aspiration was just to be ranked by Prep Running Nerd, and now he's a Class B 3200 record holder. He ran that race alone for most of the race. He finished 36 seconds ahead of the second-place finisher. And again, the weather conditions at Waverly last Friday were just perfect. Barely a little bit of wind, sunny, and cool enough that I think if he'd actually been competing against somebody else, he probably could have run a little bit faster. And then our third state record this year happened on Saturday. Clara Spargo of Dundee County Stratton set the Class D state record for the 200 in 24:86. She actually finished second in that race to Addie Hunt from Southern Valley. But in doing so, she broke the oldest girls' record that was on the books. It was set in 1975. So Clara now holds the 200 and 400 Class D state records. And interestingly, she set that record on Saturday, running into a headwind.
I was down there for that one, Jay, the Donstein Invite at Cambridge. And boy, those two young ladies, and you add Jolie Farr in there from Cambridge, have been battling each other all last year, and they're doing it again this year.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of Addie. And I know that she isn't at the top of the charts for all of her events in all class, but I think she could be. She's a unique talent and has just been going crazy. And then the Spargo kids at Dundee County Stratton, even the one in junior high, are doing great right now.
Are there any other records in peril?
Well, again, it's not going to be a historic year, but I think we could see up to 10 more records if the weather cooperates. As you know, in the spring in Nebraska, we get a lot of wind, and that tends to invalidate the sprint records, but also just make it hard to do the full lap races. But I still think that the all-class 1600 record's going to be below 4:05 by the end of the season. Juan Gonzalez from Fremont ran an indoor 4:04 in February, and I think Lofquest could have run faster than his 4:06 a few weeks ago if he had used a different race strategy. I mentioned Addie Hunt of Southern Valley. I think she's got a legitimate chance at breaking the 400 record of 55:37 that was set 19 years ago. I'm not sure about the 100 and 200, but I do think the 400 is her strongest event when you compare it to the records. Ike Ackerman of Omaha Central is within 2 inches of breaking the Class A shot put record. You're old enough, and I'm old enough, that you probably remember Larry Station from Omaha Central. Mm-hmm. He went on to play football at Iowa. An absolute beast, and so it's a real testament to Ike's ability that he's within 2 inches of breaking not only the Class A shot put record, but also the Omaha Central record. I've been watching with a lot of interest at the pole vault improvements over the years. It's really, this is kind of a high point for pole vault. We've got a great bunch of coaches, but also just a great bunch of athletes. And so Boston Irish of Cozad is just 8 inches away from breaking the all-class pole vault record. And then Alyssa Onan, who already owns the Class C state record, she could threaten the all-class pole vault record this year. And then my other kind of top choice for a broken record would be Charlie Thorne of Lincoln Southeast. He's within 36 hundredths of a second of breaking the all-class 400 record, and he's a half of a second behind the Class A 300 hurdles record.
Wow. Boy, a lot of great records. And looking ahead, and I know the Irish kid and the young lady from Kearney Cadillac are both at the Dutch Zorn Invite in Gothenburg. Maybe they got great facilities over there, and the wind's right. Hopefully not a lot of wind. Then maybe this is the day.
Yeah. It's pole vault's pretty unique in that they wouldn't mind a little tailwind. A crosswind can be devastating, so it just, you never quite know until they're actually jumping whether it's going to be the right conditions for a record.
Jay, any surprises this year?
Well, I think there's two that stand out to me, and one of them is Charlie Thorne from Lincoln Southeast. He was not on my radar until this year, but his 300 hurdles and his 400 meter times are about 2 seconds faster than last year, and this is despite him only racing the 400 once this year and the 300 hurdles twice. So very early in the season, I think Lincoln Southeast kind of gets a slow start to their outdoor season, and then they may be packing on a little bit later. So I'm excited to see how Charlie does. He's a unique talent and has really had a breakout year. On the girls' side, I'd say that I'm impressed with the depth of the Class B girls distance runners. I think we could see at least three girls break the 5-minute barrier in the 1600, and maybe those same three girls breaking the 11-minute barrier in the 3200.
How in the world are you keeping track of all these fast times?
Well, we did it for us, but we also did it for our fans. We created a ranking spreadsheet on our website at preprunningnerd.com that lists the top 15 performances by each class. And this last week, we just added the state records for each event, so you can see all that information in one place. We also list every 2025 state record in our weekly Nerds letter that we post to the website on Wednesdays. So that's always a good way to stay informed if you're not as crazy about track as we are.
Now, moving away from marks, what else can fans find at the website?
Well, we try to do a variety of things in our weekly Nerds letter, and this week we've got a link to a great article by a coaching friend of ours. He wrote about the role that parents should play in their kids' sporting lives. I kind of always wondered if I was doing the right things as a parent when my kids were competing, and Jeremy Hazelhorst gives some really great tips.
So were you doing the right things?
I prefer to give no comment on that.
I think I'm going to agree with that. No comment either. My kids will probably agree. No comment.
Yeah. Especially somebody with a loud voice like you. You were probably heard all over the stadium.
So. Man, Jay knows me well. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, in this week's newsletter, you wrote about a few NSAA proposals that were up for votes.
Yeah, we highlighted a few of them that relate to track and cross country, including a proposal we've been promoting the last 2 years. So Wisner Pilger took up our branch and proposed this. And so as of now, the top 15 individual qualifiers at each cross-country district meet qualify for state. And you've been to state, you know that's actually one of the smaller meets that we see each year. There's just right around 100 runners at every state meet or every state race. So when there's two or more powerhouse teams at a district meet, particularly in Class A and B, that might mean that out of the 15 qualifiers, only two or three are actually guys or girls who aren't qualifying as part of a team. And so we suggested a few years ago that there ought to be a minimum of 5 non-team athletes that qualify for state, and that Wisner-Pilger proposal actually called for 10 non-team qualifiers. Probably would have added 20 or 30 kids to the each state meet at the most, but if you been to the UNK meet, I mean, that's absolutely huge. There's 200 kids in a lot of the races, and it's not overwhelming. That's a course that's built for large races. Unfortunately, the proposal was voted down in the first of the three stages that goes through the NSAA legislative process. So disappointing. I would have felt like at the district level where Wisner-Pilger had a voice and could have advocated for it, it would have gone better, but the other folks in their district did not agree. And then one that I wasn't aware of until this week, but I just can't imagine how it did not pass. The athletic director at Southwest proposed that the state start awarding team trophies for the third and fourth place finishers in golf, track, and cross country, the top four team trophies. And that would match what the NSAA already does for basketball and volleyball. That proposal noted that there are more track and cross-country teams competing for a state title than in basketball and volleyball, and yet there's only two trophies in golf and track and cross-country. Unfortunately, that proposal failed in the second round of voting.
You ever think that thing, that item will come up again sometime?
Well, you know, I almost think that particularly for, well, really for both of them, I think that maybe those type of proposals have to be brought up in multiple districts, and so more of the districts are informed. So they see those proposals in the first round, and then they get them back, and they get to see them again in the second round when four of the six districts have to vote in favor of it. I just I think both of these are a little bit fair play. I mean, I know that in Class D, I should have counted how many teams vie or put a team in districts, but the fact that two out of maybe 50 or more are only get team trophies for doing so well, and it's two out of 18 that are at the state meet, it just seems like we're not rewarding participation, and we're not rewarding some real excellence, particularly when there are often some dominating teams that take those first two trophies.
Jay, aside from all this writing that you do, what else do you offer to track fans?
So we feel like our number one service is that we attend anywhere from 10 to 15 meets each week all over the state. So we've got two nerds on the Wyoming border and a bunch down closer to Colorado. And we take pictures and we post them for free on the Prep Running Nerd Facebook page. So for meets last week, I think we might have hit about 15. And we posted over 5,000 free photos on Facebook.
That's amazing. 5,000 from just 1 week alone. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we'll post about 50,000 per season. We'll hit over 100 track meets this year and 100 cross-country meets. And we've got 20 volunteers that are doing all of this. So I'm not paid. They're not paid. We're just doing it because we love track and field and we love cross-country.
And I get a kick out of Jay, and I don't know who gives them all the nerds little nicknames. Each nerd has kind of a little nickname, but I get a kick out of that, too.
Yeah, when we only had 5 or 10 nerds, I used to name everybody. And now that we're up to, we've had about 30 different nerds, now I just tell them to bring their nickname with them. And so some are pretty creative, we have a lot of fun with it. And it's kind of funny when these people are at meets, they're more often to be called by their nerd name than their real name. So, and we encourage athletes and parents when they see us at a meet to say, "Howdy, nerd," instead of calling us by our real name. We think being called nerd is a compliment, so we're happy to hear that.
Well, Jay, it's been a great spring so far. We got just a little bit of time in April, month of May, with conferences, with districts, and then state at Burke. And, of course, Burke's going to do a little facelift, so to speak. And I'm sure keeping tabs on some of the pictures released on social media, that's going to have a little different look in some areas for that state meet.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I work about a mile from Burke, and I have not been over to see how it looks. I guess I'll spend enough time there in May, but I'm excited. I'm excited the community and OPS got involved and are giving it a shine. And it was a little bit overdue, but I love that environment. And I think that kids around the state really relish the opportunity to compete there.
Jay, great job as always. Hit the website. It's got a Facebook page and everything. If you love track and field and then, of course, cross country in the fall, you're going to love this website, aren't you?
I think they will. Hopefully we can create a couple thousand nerds out there that even if they're not taking pictures for us, they're advocates for the sports and they support the kids, and not just the kids at their school, but the kids at every meet and from all the schools.
Jay, always great to catch up with in track and field. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk to you down the line, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich.